quick moments of fun in the presence of the living God through His Word. Tonight I want you to participate. Last Wednesday night was quite an experience. So I will start by saying, if you have questions, wait until the end of the service and you ask outside. So you're going to avoid the show that we had last night. You know, the interesting thing is, as I was telling the person involved, I was talking to Jesus Wednesday morning, our meeting at 4 o'clock. He said, you're going to find stiff opposition for the teaching tonight. Don't back off. That was last Wednesday. And I'm thinking, okay. I didn't say anything. I just said, okay. And my very first reaction, I came to the office and I went through the sermons that I have lined up to preach in weeks ahead. So I brought the thing that I had to speak about. And I also had two more sermons, which I thought, you know what? I'm going to preach on one of the other sermons. I'm not in the mood to deal with nonsense in the service. Well, the thing is, when I got behind the pulpit, the sermons were there and I couldn't find it. I look over the Bible and I was disgusted because I couldn't find it. Let it be that it was right there, but it was spaced, and somehow God wanted us to hear about that sermon. All right, let's go. So I start preaching. We came to the end, and I was, wow, maybe the Lord did a miracle here. And it came at the end. So to avoid foolish arguments like those, and the sad part is, it was an example of what I just finished preaching. So, if you have questions about whatever we're going to share tonight, wait until we finish. You can beat me up outside. Right? Oh, you will not let them. Thank you, sweetheart. And she fights taekwondo. So I'm in good hands. So tonight I want your participation. And I'm going to start by asking, how many of you here have a friend? You have a friend. All right. Now, my question, next question for you is, why do you have a friend? What is the purpose of having a friend?
Talk to?
Someone that you can give confidence, he can become a confidant to you. He knows you're good, you're up, you're bad, you're ugly, and he's not going to back away, he still loves you.
Okay, so in other words, we could simply say someone that I can confide on. Okay.
To share my life with.
Somebody that you want to share your life with.
Hang out with them.
To hang out with them.
Pray with.
Huh?
I say companionship.
Companionship.
Grow with.
Grow with.
Have fun with.
Get their opinions.
Mm-hmm. To make accountability or something.
To be accountable to?
Opinion.
What? Somebody who sees your faults, oversee your fault. Okay, that's a good one. Somebody that will listen to.
Bail you out of trouble.
Wow. Somebody that you can share everything. Now, the next question then is, how many of you have a friend like this? Okay, everybody does. Man, I guess I am on the lonely wagon because I don't. I don't. I'm scared of having friends. Very good. Every single thing that you said today, by the way, the title of our meditation tonight is The Best Friend You Could Ever Have. The best friend you could ever have. You know, we live in such a twisted society that we are isolating ourselves more and more by the day. Somebody sent me an email recently of a family dining out. The server came to Applebee's, they came to Applebee's, and by the time that the server came, they had already punched in the order in some digital thing they have on the top of the table. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They have some kind of digital, like a little computer, you can pull the menu and place your order right in there. So when the server came, brought the water, and went back, mommy went to Facebook, daddy is somewhere out there, I don't know where, on his tablet, and daughter and son were text messaging their friends. We are in a restaurant for a family dinner. Isn't that exciting? And then we had a couple that went out in a dinner, in a night out. And while they are waiting, everybody's here. Society has grown so ridiculous that we are setting ourselves apart from each other in such a drastic way that some people are waking up in the middle of the night realizing, I don't have friends anymore. And then they start in a quest to re-tie old friendship. But we are not always successful with this because, as I say, in the technologically inclined world in which we live today, it is easy to be on Facebook in your miserable little corner in there, communicating with everybody through Facebook, than to have somebody looking at you face to face, talking, enjoying each other's company. Because of the way that we are evolving so quickly, friendship, like the one that you guys are talking about, is becoming more and more difficult to find. I was talking to somebody recently. The person asked me, do you have friends? I said, yes, I have. I have a good friend. Very good. Okay, just one? I said, well, I would say two. Okay, two friends. Said, yeah. So nobody follow me on Facebook? I said, I don't have a Facebook account. What? I don't. Why? Why should I? And we're talking. And who are these two friends that you got? I said, number one or number two? Number two is my wife. So your wife is not your number one friend? I said, no, she's not. She's number two. And who is the number one? JC. JC. Is that a guy? Yeah. You have a guy as your best friend? Yep. That's weird. And you're a preacher, right? Yes. And you got a guy as your best friend? Yep. What JC stands for? Say, Jesus Christ. Oh, here we go, religion. So there's no religion. Jesus Christ is my best friend. And this man was puzzled because he couldn't understand how could I, on the 21st century, have only two friends. I told him, and I have lots and lots of acquaintances. But friend in the way that I think friendship should be, in the biblical way, I've got two. My Lord Jesus Christ and my wife. Everybody else, they are very good acquaintances. So what is it that the Bible says about friendship? And I'm going to share with you today the result of our conversation. Because we live in a world that is so twisted, so messed up, and now friendship is getting weird and weird, and we have so many long-distance friends, be careful as you choose your local friends. So as a rule of thumb, here are some guidelines how you should choose your local friends. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 63. Let's keep on the New Living Translation. This way everybody can understand better. Psalm 119, verse 63. Be careful when choosing your friends and the type of friends that you have. Read it with me. I am when choosing a friend, make sure that you choose a friend that fear God and obey God's commandments. When I was growing up in the little Jewish community that we lived, it says, bad company will corrupt good habits. Y'all have the same thing around here?
Yes.
You guys have that, right? Bad companies will corrupt your good manners. And the mother would step forward to say, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. In choosing friends, make sure that you will choose somebody who fear God and obey God's commandments. Why? Because there's going to be time in your life that you're going to need help. There's going to be time in your life that you will need some spiritual guidance. And when you have somebody that is a God-fearing friend and obey God's commandments, you're going to have a shoulder to lean on. Amen? Listen to the Backslider translation on this one here. I am a friend and a companion of all who fear you, of those committed to living by your rules. As I said, when you're choosing out the friends that you want to have in life, make sure that you choose friends that are God-fearing and people that are committed to obey the Word of God. Back on the New Living Translation, Proverbs 18:24 tells us that when we make a bad choice in choosing our friends, things can go pretty sour. Read it with me. There are friends, but therefore, I'm telling you, when you're choosing the friend, for you to make sure that you're choosing somebody that is a God-fearing friend, somebody that will be willing and obeying the Word of God, because if you stick with the wrong friend, if you choose the wrong friend, they may ruin our life. Now, when we have the right friend, God-fearing friend, it says that a real friend sticks closer than a brother. What does that mean? That person will be there for you when your brother and your sister will not. We are still together, right?
Yes.
Now, on the Backslider translation, it is interesting. Watch this. Friends. This is why you have to know which kind of friend you will choose. We should be looking up for those kind of friends that are God-fearing friends, that are, you know, Bible-oriented. The Never Inspired Version has it in a very interesting way. Watch this. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Choose godly friends. Choose friends that are willing to obey the Word of God. You said that so many times, preacher. Move on. No, I can't move on yet because I gotta get a point through here. Sometimes in our quest to find new friendships or to tie back old ties, we may be getting associated with people that may actually lead us into ruin. But the Bible tells us to be careful. Yeah.
Pastor Paul, that message on Proverbs 18:24 had a comma, but it didn't finish it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks
That's better yet. Let's have it. Let's have 18 and 9, 24 and 25, brother.
There is no 25.
No, yeah, it's the last
paragraph.
The last sentence.
Well, I guess the electronic is not showing up. In mine, it shows. But praise God for that. Continuing. There is going to be time in life that not even your family will do when it comes to friendship. What? Yes. That's going to be time in life that not even your family will do, because sometimes, because we are family, we feel entitled that instead of help, we can finish killing the person. You know, in 38 years of preaching, many times, time and over again, when the people came for counseling, the problem with family is that family, most of the time, will never ever to be able to grasp the depth of what we are going through. Oh, she'll be all right. We already saw that before. She'll snap out of it. He'll snap out of it. You know, he's just having a bad day. And sometimes family cannot. And sometimes when you have a crazy family like I used to have, they will just dump you. Watch this. Brother, give me Psalm 27:10. Watch this. Let's read it together. Even if my father and mother abandon me, there's going to be a time in that mom and dad will just bail out on us. But when that happens, you can be assured you've got a priceless friend that will never abandon you. On the backslide of translation, it's interesting the way that they put it. Watch this. My father and mother
walked off and left me, but God to me.
Okay, third grade. So let's read it together. Huh? My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. Sometimes not even family. You know, family may walk out on us because they may not understand what is going on. I just remember that morning when they came down from the mountain, there was a mountain behind my house, and I'm reading the very same scripture. Jesus mentioned that on Matthew 19. And I'm thinking, my goodness, will a mother or father kick their child out because they believe in Jesus? Little did I know that as soon as I walk in, my father called me out of the door. I walk in the house, you come out here. So I walked out. Yes, Dad. You are now ordered to stop this Christian nonsense. So what? I cannot have Christians in my house. So what? Mother comes in, she says, you know what? You better give up this Christian nonsense. We can all believe in God without being Christian. They didn't believe in God. They were secular Jews. And you know what? So that I can't help because I gave my heart to Jesus, and I don't know if he wants to give it back to me. That was honestly my answer. That's how I felt. My father told my sister to lock the doors so I couldn't get in, get all my clothes, wrap up in a big bed sheet, something like that, and throw it through the window. Get out. You're never welcome into this house ever again. And he meant business. Mother goes in desperation mode. Why don't you give up this nonsense? I can't. I gave my heart to Jesus. And I don't know how to take it back. And I guess she thought I was joking. That was the last time I was in that home. That home was late sold. And 27 years later, I went back home. By now, mother became a believer. And my younger sister Then I led my second sister to the Lord. And then I led the older sister to the Lord. And the whole gang is coming one by one. But there's going to be time that father and mother will walk out on us. You can be assured that you have a friend that will never walk out on you. Actually, he will take you in. When everybody else is bail out, the best friend that you could ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. After the Lord Jesus Christ, well, let me give you another scripture. Let's go, Brother Harry, please, to Hebrews 13:5. Listen to this. Be careful who you choose to be your friend. You're better off if you try this one here. Don't love money. Why? Money can't be your friend. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, is everybody here able to read here? Okay, let's try this again. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said,
I'll never fail you, I'll never abandon you.
That's the best friend you could ever have. God himself. Because God will never fail you, like men can fail you, like your best friend can fail you. God will never fail you. God will never abandon you. Even when you change from country to country, God will be there wherever you go. You know, when I was working with the Dutch people, Jesus was there with me. And it was amazing. Sometimes I had to walk 17 kilometers to catch a bus. So it took like about an hour and a half to get to the main road. And while I'm walking, I'm talking to Jesus. And some Hindu people would pass and they look at me. You all right? I said, yeah. Because I'm talking. So one day, same person rode by me on the little motorcycle. And he couldn't resist. He stopped. Hey, how are you doing? Good. Who are you talking to? Because he noticed I was walking and talking. I'm talking to who? To Jesus. Talking to who? To Jesus. Where is he? Where are you? And they couldn't understand. But you know, many times walking those 17 kilometers, which would be like 13, 14 miles, Jesus was walking right along. And we could talk and we could catch up before I jump on a bus. When you will take this for granted, the Lord said, I will never fail you. And I will never abandon you.
Hallelujah.
The Backslider translation makes it interesting. Watch this. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down. Isn't that right? Tell your neighbor, God will never walk off on you. It's the word of God. Now let's go to John chapter 15. Give me verse 15 first. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Tell your neighbor, you're no longer a slave. Now, you are my
friends
since I have told you everything the Father told me. Tell your neighbor, you are a friend of God. You know, Jesus has called you friend. Now, you are my friends since I have told you everything that the Father told me. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sting you right now. Perhaps, and only perhaps, the reason that many of you have not yet heard from Jesus, or heard the voice of Jesus, It's because he is not yet your best friend. Didn't he say that he will tell everything that the Father tell him, he will tell you? So if you haven't heard from Jesus yet, maybe you should switch friends. You know, make your best friend your second best friend and make Jesus your best friend. And I guarantee you, on the moment that that takes place, you will hear from Jesus every single day. Now listen to verse 16. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce less fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Say amen. Come on. It's so good to know that I did not choose him. He chose us. You know how much that encouraged me to know that the God of the universe, the creator of the whole earth, has chosen me, has chosen you to be his friend. And ironically, a lot of people will put that friendship aside for a stinking piece of equipment called television. Here he goes again. Leave the TV alone. Well, if you're spending an hour every day with your TV and you can't spend an hour and a half with Jesus, that became your God. When you have a friend, don't you have a day that you go to meet with that person? You like to have a day every week to meet with that person? Or is it only me? When I had friends, so-called friends, I'd like to have a day with that person every week so we can catch up, right? How long you've been doing that? 25 years. Every Friday, she meets with her best friend. Religiously. That's what I call commitment. You know? When you have a friend, you want to spend time with that friend. Is that right? Yes. So you can catch up. And here is the best about friendship. Having a friend is a time when you spill your heart out. Is that right? And yet, you lend an ear to hear what that person also has to say. And here comes the best. Because you are best friends, you are buddies, that person will be able to tell you things even though you may not like it, but you will listen because you know that that friend cares for you. Am I correct?
Yes.
This is exactly the kind of relationship that Jesus is willing to have with you. You know what? Let's go back to verse 15 and put the backslider translation here. Watch this. Verse 15. I am no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. When you become a friend of Jesus, you start to understand the moves that he makes, because there is a close connection between the two of you. Does it make sense? This is what friendship is all about. It's getting so knit, so tight that you can anticipate what the next move is. Slaves or servants, they don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. Why? Because they don't talk a lot. Because they don't hang out a lot. Because they don't spend time together. And you know what? Jesus is willing to have that kind of relationship. And I'm going to let you in a little secret. It works for me. Every single decision that I am going to make, before I make, sometimes I just look up, what you think? That's ridiculous. Well, it can be ridiculous for you. It works for me. Never failed before. Never will. As my best friend and somebody able and capable to see further than what I do, I always check. And you know, you'd be surprised how many times he said flat, no, I walk away. And I do not make that decision. just to find out a few weeks later that that was the best decision could have ever made. Servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I'm heard from the Father. Let me tell you this. Would you like to know some secrets from God?
Yes.
Make Jesus your best buddy. I'm serious. He will let you in. He will let you in many of the thoughts of the Father. So whatever the Father has revealed to the Son, when you become best buddy with Jesus, Jesus will let you know. Did you see a scripture in the Old Testament that says, the Lord will not do anything without first revealing to his prophets? Are you with me here?
Yes.
Let Jesus in. Establish a relationship. Have a date with Jesus. Well, we have a time every day, 4 o'clock. Sometimes I ask for a day off, but we catch up later. You know, and sometimes you'll not just give me. I wake up 4 o'clock and here we go again. And when I go to bed at midnight and I have to wake up at 4 to talk, by the time we finish, I feel like $1 million because somehow he replenished my sleep or something, and I feel $1 million. Folks, let Jesus in the loop. You want to hear from God? Let Jesus in the loop as your best friend. Let me give you another scripture that's a little crazy. But I want you to see this. Okay, preacher, I understand what you say. Yes, I understand that. And I know that I need to make Jesus my friend, but I can't see him. John said, if you can't do that, you're in bad shape. Let me go to John 15:12. Perhaps this will help you to establish a better relationship with him. This is my commandment. What is the commandment? That's a commandment. You don't know how to relate to me? So what about start loving each other? That will build a bond. Are you with me? When you love someone, it will build bond. It will help you to establish a communication. And it will have some bumps along the way. But love will overpower those bumps. Now, verse 13 gets interesting. Watch this. Same chapter, verse 13. There is no greater love than
to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Ouch. No greater love than this. To lay down one's life for one's friend. How is that going to help him on my relationship with Jesus? Once you learn to love someone, down here, and you are willing to die for that person, it will be easy for you to relate to God. This is why many people, I got an email today from India, of 100 people that is going to be dead within the next week. Because they were already told by the Hindu mob, if you come into our town, we're going to kill you. And they went on the record, and they were filmed saying, I count my life in nothing precious. Because my Savior laid down his life for me. I have no problem laying my life down for my Savior. And these people are getting ready to go tomorrow. And 89 villages where extreme caste of Hinduism will not tolerate Christianity. So J.P. Kapanen, something like this, is Gospel for Asia, send out a video asking us to pray. And if possible, to support the families that will be left behind in case the Lord choose not to spare those folks. And when you listen to those testimonies, it's amazing. Like they are smiling. There is a joy in their life. They are happy. Yes, we are looking forward to go on Monday. And their main motivation is that their Savior laid down their lives for them. And they are willing to do the same in return. I don't understand how that can help me with my relationship with God. Simple. When you learn to love someone here, even though that person is imperfect and that person can cause you some troubles, can cause you some bumps along the road, when you learn to devote yourself to someone down here, it will be easy for you to relate with Jesus. When you understand that Jesus says that true love will lead somebody to lay down one's life for a friend, when that concept finally penetrates our life, it will help us to give up our television, our Facebook account, MySpace, and every garbage in between. True friends will lay down one's life for each other. Verse 14 gets interesting. Watch this. Same chapter. You are my friends if... Okay, third grade, so let's try this again. You are my friends if you do what I command. So what is he saying? That one of the key elements to become a friend of God is do what he commanded us. And one of the commands he just gave in verse 12 was to love one another. Amen? Let me wrap up here now. There's going to be time in life that no matter how much friends you may have, everybody's going to bail out on you. There's going to be time in life that no matter how compassionate, how understanding your friends may be, they will not be able to understand what you're going through. And this is when having a friendship with Jesus Christ can make a great difference. Brother, put up there John 14. Let's start on verse 16, Message Bible. John 14, 16. Watch this. Or maybe you should read it with me. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you so that
you will always have someone with you.
Say amen. God never intended for you and I to be alone. And knowing in advance that there's going to be time that mom and dad is going to bail us, walk out on us, walk off on us, whatever. Knowing that there's going to be time that friends will turn their back on us, Jesus said, I will talk to the Father and he'll provide another friend so that you will always have someone with you, which means you are not alone. Tell your neighbor, you're never alone. Verse 17 says something even more interesting. Watch this. Well, read it with me. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. Isn't that something? Jesus didn't want you to be alone. He provided another friend, meaning that he is already your friend. But once he is gone, because he doesn't want you to be alone, he will provide you with another friend. Now, the world cannot see him. Why? Because they don't have eyes to see him. They don't know what to look for. So what about me? Well, he's already with you and within you. So what do I do? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel desperate? Do you feel abandoned? Do you feel unloved? Cheer up. You've got the Spirit of God within you. That's the best friend you will ever have. You're never alone. You're not orphan. You know what? Give me verse 18 on the new NLT. Watch this. Verse 18. I just remember that. No, I will not abandon you as orphan. I will come to you. Now you got two friends. The Holy Ghost that lives within you. And then you have Jesus himself that will not abandon you. But he will come and hang around and hang out with you. So, I want to challenge you today to plan a date with Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Be creative. I'm going to wrap up reading together with you. James 4:8. You may be thinking, preacher, I hear you saying this time and over again, but I don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. I want to be a friend of God, and I don't know how to do it. James 4:8. Let's read it. Come close to God, and
God will come close to you.
Wash your hands, your sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty
is divided between God and the world.
Here's the key. How do I become friends of God? Let me cut the ties with the world. Say amen.
Amen.
Let me cut my loyalty to God and the world. I'm going to be loyal to God.
Amen.
The world can go to the back of the line. Amen?
Amen.
And once I do that, I'm going to wash my hands. I'm done with you, world. He says, purify your hearts. The question is, how can I purify my heart? According to Psalm 119, observing your word, oh God. The more I read about the word of God, the more open I am, the word will purify my heart. And then when I move closer to God, God will respond by moving close to me. You may have great friends, and I believe that most of you have good friends, but there is none as good as Jesus himself. There is none as good as the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within you. He's inside of you. He knows every bit of you. He knows every move. I was talking to my soldier boy in the Middle East 3 hours ago. So we're talking about how God is moving our lives and doing different things. And then we come to something that I don't want to call here now, but I just say something. I saw something and said, oh boy. We were talking about the way that God responds to us when we want things. He asked me, what you going to preach tonight? I said, the best friend you can ever have. Really? Talk to me about that. You got to come to service. So we were sharing, and then at one point, he said, you know, there's few things that I wish I could accomplish, and few things I wish I could have. Can you put in a word for me? I said, nope. What do you mean, no? I said, maybe God wants to use that as an excuse to draw you close to him. And then he asked, did you ever want that? I said, for a matter of fact, this past week, I saw it and I loved it. And what did you do? I said, I just look up. Can I have it? What did he say? I said, well, he looked at me and said, what do I do with you? And then he smiled and he left. What? Yes, that's exactly what he said. I said, man, when am I going to get to that point? I said, let me see. How many hours do we spend with him every day? Oh, don't even go there. I said, no, you ask me how you're going to get there, right? Right? How many times? I said, hey, I read my Bible every day for 1.5 hours. I said, you're on the path. How about you? I don't know. Sometimes I sit for 3 hours. Sometimes I sit for 4 hours. What? I said, yep. So you mean to tell me I have to go to that point? Said, no, you have to pass. You have to excel. Because this is not something that I must do. It's something that I do because I like it. Folks, Jesus wants to be your friend. Amen. You gotta make the next move. The Holy Spirit is the best friend that you will ever have because He's within you. He knows every move. God is waiting for you to plan a date with Him. Give God a chance. Say amen.
Amen.
Pastor, you have Harry put up James 4:7-10 in the Message Bible. James 7-10 Message Bible.
4:7-10 you said, right?
Yes.
So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Ouch. Get serious. Really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Thank you. That was very good. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Bow your heads. Jesus, I tried to tell them what you told me to tell them. So I'll leave it to you right now and to your Holy Spirit to make your word known and understood by everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you because we are not the one who chose you, but you have chosen us to be your friends. I pray that you may help us to correspond that friendship. I pray that we may break away from the world and embrace this friendship that you so desire to have with us. Holy Spirit, help us to be sold out for Jesus. Help us to comprehend that you are the best friend we could have, and Jesus is the best friend that we will ever have. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.